You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey everybody, on this week's Apathetic Enthusiasm, we are talking about the Umbrella Academy, Astroneer, other things. I don't know, we didn't really plan in advance, but this is Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yeah, it is.
You just cut it right off there.
I didn't cut it off. I mean, that's just how long the song is.
Oh, it's like it's our first podcast. Welcome everybody to Apathetic Enthusiasm. I'm Travis.
Hey everybody, I'm Brandon, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, we're so glad you're here. Up until about 4 hours ago, I don't think we had planned on making this podcast, and then we're like, you know what? It's just Apathetic Enthusiasm. We can just make it happen. That's fine.
What are we really talking about here?
It's whatever.
What are we gonna do?
We're gonna open the show. We're gonna talk over some music. We'll probably read off some social media links. Can go to Apathusiast on Twitter or follow me at Jugglemino. You're at Steve the Heb. You could go to Facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show or Instagram apathetic_enthusiasm. You do any of those things, we would just say those sorts of things off the cuff. Without even planning it in advance, we could talk about our email at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com or how our website is apatheticenthusiasm.com. Between you and me, I'd say we don't mention Patreon at all. Just don't even mention that people can, you know, go to that virtual tip jar and just throw some spare change in there at patreon.com/rickandmortypod. Like, I wouldn't even bring that up in an episode like this, but. You know, maybe we will later.
The brilliance of that little segment is that you sounded a little off the cuff. You sounded like you're like pow 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 like with a six shooter, and then you're like reloading it real quick, and then like a
that's
a
is fast. That how guns sound? I don't.
Pow pow pow. But your eyes deceive.
Yeah, as I'm looking over at our show notes and trying to remember the links to the email that we've had for 3 years now.
So if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, good news, you've
been bamboozled, my friend.
You retain the illusion that Travis is.
If you are watching this,
I'm just so bad at words, man. Ah.
If you're watching this on Twitch or YouTube, because I might upload it later for some reason, then you know the truth. The truth is out there. I want to tell you that tonight I was playing a really simple prank on my kids because we had just finished watching a movie on Apple TV, and then the remote was on one side of the room, my phone was on the other side of the room, so I used the Apple Watch app to as a remote to start messing with the Apple TV, and I'm just like doing like really random stuff, and everybody's like, what are you doing, why are you messing with the TV? And I'm like, it's not me, I don't have the remote. I don't know what's going on. And they're like, oh, come. Okay, you have your phone then. Like, I know you can do it with your phone, Dad. And I'm like, my phone is plugged in over there. You can see it right there. I don't know how the remote is being all weird like this. And my oldest goes, and she puts like her hands up like, and she goes, it's Illuminati. So this is our Illuminati podcast now. This is where we talk about conspiracy theories and things like that.
Illuminati enthusiasm.
Illuminati enthusiasty.
That's great. Yeah. So here's something we like to do on this show. We like to look at each other, Travis and I, and say, what have you been up to?
Oh, yeah. What have I been doing? What have I been doing? Let's see. What have I watched recently? Umbrella Academy. I worked my way through that.
You can't say that. That can't be the first thing you say and then like push it to the side, because that's what we're supposed to talk about.
Oh, that's like the only thing I watched, right?
Oh, damn it. Well, you didn't watch, like, you don't it doesn't have to be something you watched.
I caught a very riveting episode of Grey's Anatomy recently.
Okay.
No, not really.
Damn it.
So Grey's Anatomy was on TV while I was reading the Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons trade paperback. Although I read it, it's not a paperback. I got a hardcover because I spent extra.
Yeah.
GameStop, so it's not really a trade. It's a trade. Yeah. Hardcover back. Anyway,
do they call it that? But do they call it a trade paper hardback?
Trade hardback.
That sounds like my porn name. It won't make a lot of money because people be like, oh god, that's not something we need to see.
And I've watched my favorite basketball team lose a lot of games. So that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Yeah. You know, the Thunder would probably win more games if they had a player named Trade Hardback.
they would have traded him in the offseason.
We're trading Trade Hardback for Long Dick Strong.
I was just thinking, like, James Harden was a player they actually traded, so they did trade hard in. But
shoot, yeah.
Yeah, it's too close to home, Brandon. Let's not talk about it. So, Umbrella Academy, you watched that, right?
I did, yeah. I watched some other stuff, too, if you want to talk about those things first.
Not really. So, what did you think of Umbrella Academy? And for anybody that's listening, I'm sure spoilers will come up. I'm sorry in advance.
Well, so for those who don't know, some guy from My Chemical Romance made a graphic novel called Umbrella Academy way back, I think, in like 2011 or so.
It's way, way back in the golden age of comics.
Way back.
2011.
For all those who are listening right now who are certainly were 5 years old in 2011, that's our key demographic.
Is that really the genesis of this story? Is the dude from that band made, is it a single graphic novel or was it like a comic series?
You think I'm making this up, Travis?
Yeah, I do, Brandon. I don't know. Do you have the Wikipedia page open?
I'll just say this. Yes, it's true. Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, there's an article over on loudwire.com, and it talks about how him being in My Chemical Romance helped him create the story of Umbrella Academy. It says being in a band is like being in a dysfunctional family, and all these personalities are really distinct and really big, not just the people in your band but the people you meet on the road or the crew. Actually, he said it to Rolling Stone. Loudwire just stole it.
Okay,
with that in mind,
credit where credit is due.
I'm citing a source who's citing another source. That's just like all great college papers.
Well, as you can tell, I was a huge fan of the graphic novel and couldn't wait for this series to come out. Yeah, I didn't know anything about it really until it was already out on Netflix, and decided to check it out. It looked comic booky, and sure enough, it was.
Well, I want to go back to my origin story of this show. Kevin, so lucid. When he and I worked together in 2012-ish, 2010 to 11 to 12-ish, he gave me a couple graphic novels to read. One was Lock and Key, which I really enjoyed, and then the other was Umbrella Academy, which I didn't read, but I gave back to him.
Tell him you read it when you gave it back to him?
Oh, Kevin will have to follow up on that question.
We're going to have to fact check that one.
It's possible. I might have been like, oh, yeah, I just really liked the artwork in that one. So when I heard that Umbrella Academy was coming to Netflix, I said, oh, hey, Kevin, check it out. The graphic novel that you gave me to read that one time.
That we both mutually enjoyed so much.
I was a little excited. Like, okay, cool. Let's check it out. I with Chelsea, we binged it over a weekend, and I said you should watch it. It was pretty good. What are your thoughts on it?
I thought it was pretty good. This is a show topic. that And moving on. That's our show, everybody. Thanks for listening. I watched the first episode by myself. Mm-hmm. And then thought, I should ask if Sheena wants to watch this, because
that's a good question.
If I get too deep into this series by myself, I'm going to have to rewatch a lot of episodes when she finds out, oh, you were watching that without me. Now I want to watch it. So I watched the first one, and then she started watching it with me. We did not binge watch it over a weekend. It took us a few weeks to get through because I went out of town for a week. And
out of town, out of mind,
out of Netflix, out of bandwidth. So it took us a little bit longer to get through it, but mostly that was due to, I don't know, I'm not saying which of us it was, but one of us kept falling asleep in the middle of episodes. One of us would regularly say, yeah, let's watch one more, and then fall asleep in the first 10 minutes. And I'm not saying who it was. It could be either one of us. But it did take us a little bit longer to get through. And it was good.
If you're listening to this show, let me just say, if you think it is Travis, send us a tweet with hashtag Travis Sleeps. If you think it's his wife, Sheena, similarly, hashtag Sheena Sleeps. Send it to @apathusiast on Twitter.
If we get a single hashtag, that bit will have been worth it.
I will be surprised, but I will award you with a shout out on the next episode.
There you go. What more can you ask for? I liked the characters for the most part. I thought that their powers were relatively unique. There were some interesting, you know, uses for their powers, and the family dynamics really added a lot, I think, to the story. There were a lot of things in it that felt unnecessary or over the top, where I didn't like, okay, so what is it? Like 100 kids or something are all born spontaneously at the same time all across the world.
Yeah.
And this rich billionaire gets 7 of them, but they're the only 7 that end up with powers. Like,
that is a solid, solid question. I don't know the answer to that one. To be honest with you, right? Because he only got 7 of them. I mean, so there has to be more out there.
Which I think is a good premise if you have 7 of them that work together because they have these powers that they've discovered and they've cultivated. And then you have the option at this point for like 93 other villains. If you make it not a graphic novel, but if you make it a long series, you have all these other people that could potentially have powers,
right,
that you could then encounter in various adventures. But but that never really seems to come up again. And then there's this other
That part about like the 93 other people out there, that's like a, you know, it's a very like Heroes-esque thing.
Sure.
There used to be the show called the 4400 on, I forget what channel it was, USA. And it was like about all these people like went missing and then they came.
And then like, don't they like all reappear all of a sudden or something?
I'm wondering, I guess as far as the story goes, that was kind of not necessary, because really the key of the story is that this family, this dysfunctional family, is working to stop the apocalypse from happening.
Yeah.
So if you're worried about those other characters, then you're kind of like bogging down or muddying up the storyline.
How far into the 10 episode season did you know what the cause of the apocalypse was?
Did I know for certain what the cause of it was,
or you had a real gut feeling?
Episode 1.
Yeah.
You too.
It was within the first 5, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, I don't know if I was that bold in episode 1, but yeah.
It, Right. And we're not going to spoil anything. You should watch it. It's a good show. But what I will say is just the way, if you know anything about stories, like writing stories and efficiency of storytelling, then you know that the things that are introduced should have a part in the end, right? If they introduce two concepts, an apocalypse and these other things, then eventually those things should tie together, right?
Yeah, you would think so. Which leads me to this organization that exists in the show.
Yeah.
Whose entire mission is to ensure that time continues on the correct trajectory. They're these time cops, basically, that are continually trying to fix history to make sure whatever is supposed to happen will happen.
They work for the people, the commission, I think is what they call it.
I don't know what they are. They're a huge plot hole for me. Like, for starters, their whole argument is that they're trying to make sure history happens the way it's supposed to happen, but they keep meddling with things. So what is the correct answer? And then there's all this like convoluted, like, oh, there's a formula involved, or there's this, and da 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 da. And then there's like secretaries that are writing on typewriters that I don't like. There's a whole thing about it, and then I could have probably done without that because I don't know exactly what that added to the story for me. Yeah, there were some interesting elements and things where you're like, oh, that's a cool thing. That's a neat, like, oh, he became like, what was it, five became part of this organization and he's responsible for this death or whatever. Like those were like cool to like, oh, gotcha moments. But in the end, I was just like, I don't know what it really did to the core story for me. It was a really awkward B plot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can get behind the sentiment on that. I do like the two agents that were sent by the commission to basically ensure that the apocalypse happens. Hazel and Cha-Cha. One, but played by Mary J. Blige. And the other played by a certain Cameron Britton,
okay,
who plays Hazel. But there's something about the way Hazel talked. It was like how words come out of his mouth. Obviously, that's talking.
Yeah, that's the fundamentals of talking.
I was intrigued by just the way.
That's the name of our new podcast, by the way. The fundamentals of talking.
Oh, that's a good name for a podcast. He just talked like this. He just kind of had this.
Listen, Cha-Cha, I'm just... This wrist really hurts.
Saying things that really established the type of character he was. I don't know if that's a good enough impression.
No, that's not. Anyway.
You know what I'm talking about.
The last question I want to bring up about Umbrella Academy is... this is a Netflix series. It did not... It was made for Netflix, at least I believe it was. And there's one season, 10 episodes. And the way that the 10 episodes end, would you like to see a second season? Are you happy with the way it ended? Would you be frustrated if there wasn't a second season? Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I'm gonna invoke Stranger Things for a brief moment.
Okay.
Stranger Things was a good show throughout, and I didn't have any issues with it whatsoever. And then it ended, and there's like a little cliffhanger, and then we talked about this on an episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm. Check it out. And we talked about it, and we talked about like, oh, what, a second season, what would be good for a second season, and like, would it be good here? Would it be good to end here? And Stranger Things, I said at the time, and I still think it would have been great if one season done. It was a self-contained story. It was perfect. Umbrella Academy, I did have issues with periodically. But I would say that it is a good enough way to say, yeah, let's end it here. This is a good place to end it. I enjoyed it. I had a fun ride, but this is good enough. They established that they're brothers and sisters. They're all effed up, but they're going to work through their issues together.
I believe if they made a second season, it couldn't be the same type of show. And you couldn't necessarily, for them to do it right and pursue the story the way I feel like they should, you wouldn't be using the same actors necessarily or in the same storyline. It would be very different. So I feel like if they continued to pursue the show, the tone or the types of episodes they would do would probably need to be a lot different. I mean, I think they could try, if they tried to do the same thing they did in season one, I feel like it wouldn't feel different enough, and it would just feel like they're rehashing what they went through the first time. So yeah. In terms of this being like a 10-hour movie, one, it's probably too long if it's a movie. But two, I
need sitting through Glory for that long. Okay. Actually, I think Glory's like 3 hours, but no.
I think you could end it and leave the outcome up to the imagination and up to the choices of the viewer of how they would have worked through the problems that they have and then how they resolve them in the next chapter of their lives. So
yeah,
I think I'm okay with it being done.
Exactly. And I'll compare it to Stranger Things again, because that's the most recent thing that I compared it to. Stranger Things, I was like, I would enjoy seeing more of it. I'm good with seeing more of it, but this is a perfect way to end. This is a good self-contained, non-serialized story. Done. Yeah. Move on.
Check.
Umbrella Academy is, that was good enough. I enjoyed it. This is good enough. I'm not interested in seeing more.
I just liked it. That's just like, no. I just liked it. Please write more.
You come into my house. You shit on my screenplay. Yeah.
I just think our stories should start where they start.
That's a perfect way of describing time travel stories. I'm going to ask a time travel question here in a second. But I mean, overall, would you recommend the show to somebody to watch? And
Yeah, I would.
Okay. I know you had issues with it. I keep alluding to issues. Side plot stuff the main issue?
Some of it, like, I didn't have major issues per se. There were times where I wish they would have gotten more engaged with a certain character, or it moved. This show takes its time on certain things. And that's fine. I don't think everything needs to be rushed per se. And there are some great moments in this show where it allows the space for the show to kind of develop and the characters to kind of show their personality. And there's the scene, I think it's like the very first episode, where number one puts on a record and all of the siblings are in different rooms. But they can all hear the music and they're all like start dancing, and there's just like they're dancing in their own different like styles and like to their own kind of beat. But
beat of their own drum.
But they're all still dancing. And so it's sort of this weird, like, they're all in the same family and they all are part of this dance, but they're all very separated, and they all have to kind of come together throughout the course of the show. And I don't know. There were some subplots and things where I was just like, all right, yeah, that's a weird way for this to go. It makes sense in terms of like a graphic novel in my head, where like, oh, here's, or like even as a comic series, which I assumed it was a comic series, having zero information about the background. Man. But if you have a single issue, if you have a single issue about one of the characters or one of the characters' backstories or some adventure that they went on, it totally makes sense in that context. And not all of that information is going to be valuable to the overall story, but it does help to flesh out individual personalities, and this show definitely takes the time to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's no Lost as far as character based storytelling, but
what is?
What is?
What is?
Right. You're right. One of the things I had with it, I talked to Kevin about it, and it's I don't know if it was an issue I had with the actors or if I had an issue with the characters. There were certain times where I'm like, this character, or this actor, maybe they're a bad actor, or it's a bad character. Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are mm-hmm. they not reacting a certain way? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Why are they pushing? Is it bad direction? There are certain scenes where I'm like, this is
it bad writing?
Yeah, we're bad writing.
What is the problem here? But there is something not right.
Yes. There were a handful of scenes like that, and those were the issues that I really had. Where I'm like, this is a little contrived. It felt contrived in certain times.
Yeah, in terms of taking its time, there's a point, and we've alluded that there's time travel aspects of the show. There's a point where they go back and sort of replay the same day over again with slight changes and different perspectives. But there was a point where Sheena legitimately was like, "Why are we watching this part again? Like, why is this happening again?"
And that's a good point from Sheena.
There are times where it's not shot for shot, and they definitely do show different angles and different perspectives of the same scenes in that replay. Mm-hmm. But at times it is very subtle, and if you're not really paying attention, it's like, I feel like they're just showing the same thing over again. So I mean, it is something where you have to pick up on those smaller cues. But anyway.
But overall, I too would recommend it. Overall, I did recommend it to people. I enjoyed it. I think it was good. I don't need another, but I will watch another probably when it comes out.
Yeah.
And I know you feel the same way based off our conversation. Now I'll ask a time travel question, Travis. In what other movies are there time police? Or what's your favorite time police story?
Time police?
Yeah, like what's your favorite time travel story? We've talked about this before with Primer, I'm sure.
Favorite time travel story.
Or movie. Or show. Or song.
You're really putting me on the spot here. Back to the Future's pretty solid.
Oh yeah, that is a movie.
I mean, Back to the Future is good. Specifically the first one.
Why does that have to be the first one?
I really prefer that. I think the first Back to the Future is one of my preferred Back to the Future movies.
Huh.
Not when I was a kid. Obviously, Back to the Future 2 was, but
I guess I have to watch Back to the Future 2 again to see if my opinion's changed on it.
Too much of it is kind of come to pass. So Terminator. That's a pretty solid time travel tale. So
by the way, shout out to Kevin again. That's his third shout out
this episode. So somebody else needs to talk to us on a regular.
Well, he's in Discord. So go to our Discord. I just want to say
Discord. We should
say he's completely wrong. Kevin is completely wrong. Terminator, the first Terminator is the better movie because Terminator 2 relies so much on callbacks to highlight and really rise above its source material. So without the original Terminator, all those things that you really, really love in Terminator 2, you wouldn't have loved them as much. Okay.
I want to apologize to anybody watching this on video when I'm opening Discord over our video, so you're just seeing Discord channels over my face.
Awesome.
We're crushing it in this episode.
Let me tell you a time travel story real quick, and it's about a time police. Let me just tell you, here's the quick plot of it.
Isn't there a movie called Time Cop?
Yes. Okay. With Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a Heinlein short story, Robert A. Heinlein short story called All You Zombies. And here's the plot as written in Wikipedia. It chronicles a young man, later revealed to be intersex, taken back in time and tricked into impregnating his younger female self before he underwent sexual reassignment surgery. He thus turns out to be the offspring of that union, with a paradoxical result that he is his own mother and father. As the story unfolds, all the major characters are revealed to be the same person at different stages of her life. It was turned into a movie in like 2014 called Predestination. I've never seen the movie, but it is an extraordinarily interesting story. And it's like a well thought out and written to have the story make sense. It's crazy. All You Zombies.
What's the one with Bruce Willis where he's in the field with like the shotgun?
Die Hard.
Yeah, that's the one. No, there's a Bruce Willis time travel movie that was.
I know, in Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, he was in that too.
Who he had like makeup to look like an old Bruce or a young Bruce Willis.
I vaguely remember thinking that movie was interesting.
Yeah.
But this whole
Looper.
What'd you say the movie was called of the story you just told?
I think it's called Predestination.
Predestination.
Yeah.
So that messes my brain so much, and I am not particularly fond of like the multiple timelines, sort of interacting with your own self type stuff in time travel. Yeah. So that just wrecks my brain.
No, it makes perfect sense because he's part of a time police organization, and he has to ensure that he is born in a certain way to take him outside of time.
That's so weird, but okay.
I'll accept it.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on. Moving on. other topics that we were going to talk about. I don't remember. Let's talk about gaming. Let's talk about where we've been playing some video games lately. But before we talk about specific games, there was an announcement by Google today at the GDC conference. And that is about their new platform, their new application called Stadia. Brandon,
Stadia.
So the premise behind the name is that great events in gaming throughout history have taken place in stadiums, and we are witnessing. I was half paying attention at this part.
Because you're at work and you're trying to solve real world problems.
No, I was like heating up some chicken at home, and like it was hot, and I was like, but then like also real listening to the keynote in my periphery. So it's something about like the next, you know, big movement in gaming is going to happen in the Stadia. So for those of you that didn't watch the keynote or not keeping up with the news on it, Google is jumping into the deep end with feet first with Stadia, which is going to combine a development platform space with an actual streaming gaming space that also ties in YouTube as a game broadcasting element. So the first part for developers is that they are opening up their data centers and all of this bandwidth to developers to have additional resources for building really exciting games that then they are not reliant on local hardware to develop, but they can use
the cloud,
Google's platform, the cloud to build these games. And then the games will exist out on that cloud, which is going to supposedly help with like latency and the way games interact with each other, because all the games will exist in the same data structure.
Cloud. Reminds me of Teen Titans Go to the Movies when they say slay. All right.
I was thinking of The Sandlot when they say forever. But yeah, so the really cool thing about this is because games are streamed to you, you can play them on virtually any device. So the example that they showed is Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which they had a test of a few months ago, and you could pretty much open any Chrome browser and play the game on the device. So whether that was on your desktop or on a phone, they showed in their demo them going from a desktop like browser, and not like a gaming laptop. This was like a Chromebook type level PC, and then he picks it up and goes right to his phone and continues playing, and then goes to like another desktop, to a tablet, and then to a TV that just has a Chromecast hooked up to it. So no consoles, no hardware. The only hardware that they're coming out with is a controller that is designed for use with Stadia. So, I mean, it really looks like a simplified cross between an Xbox controller and a PlayStation controller.
At this point in our gaming lives, all controllers are essentially the same.
Yeah. Yeah. The only two proprietary buttons on here is a Google Assistant button and a capture button that will allow you to immediately start streaming to YouTube or things like that. And then the connectivity of the controller is Wi-Fi. So it does not connect to the device that you're playing the game on. It connects directly to your Wi-Fi, directly to the game, and knows which device you're trying to play on so that you can seamlessly switch devices and still use the same controller. And it's almost tied more directly to the game than it is whatever device or monitor you're trying to watch or play on. So there's a bunch of other really cool stuff that they're doing. A lot of it is for streamers. So if you want to stream through YouTube, they are adding stuff where you can have your audience play with you, and you can actually like build a queue of viewers who want to kind of jump into a match with you, and you can play with your audience so you can create better engagement with the people that are watching you.
Great. Yeah. That's what I want. A queue of people who are going to destroy me. That thing.
We should set it up. We should just, who wants to beat me at this game? Watch the YouTube money start flowing in.
Show me how much better you are. A show by Brandon and Travis.
There's a cool thing they're doing called Save State, where instead of just saving a game or saving like a video of a game that you're playing, you can actually save a game and share it out, and all of your inventory and progress and your exact position in the game and everything is saved to the state file that can then be shot out as a link, and any person can click the link and then play the game in the exact like spot you were in. So instead of just explaining to a person, oh, I was in this really cool place, or it was a crazy situation, I had all these enemies around me, you could actually share that experience with other people and allow them to try it out and see how they would, react in that situation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of cool features.
That's cool.
It's supposed to stream 4K at 60 frames per second, which a lot of, I know some of the people I play shooters with are going to be like, 60 FPS, get out of here. I'm not about that noise.
Gotta be twitchier.
It's a cool idea. It has potential to have huge impacts in the gaming industry, and it's apparently going to be available this year. So.
Oh,
any initial thoughts, Brandon? Now that I've kind of laid the
you fire hosed me with that information. It's like I drank from the fire hose. I just feel fire hosed. Right. Yeah.
Don't tell anyone I ever fire hosed you, Brandon.
We want to report an assault. the main thing, really, when it comes down to it, is I love a gaming platform that is based off of the strength of my Wi-Fi.
Bow, bow, bow.
That's really it is. I think they're like little catchphrases. Anyone can play. And then, you know, the parentheses asterisk needs to be so long as your internet can support it.
Yeah.
Because you and I, we do a podcast and we look at each other on video and I glitch all the time and you're recording me glitching all the time and you're glitch, yeah. You glitch, right? And how do you expect to play, a shooter when yeah. all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm dead. Apex Legends.
The argument against that is we're playing multiplayer games all the time. So what... Now, most of the load is happening locally as far as the game running and things like that. And it's just sending some sort of information back to the servers to let the servers know what our position is in the game or things like that. But I'm wondering if you turn that and have the servers doing most of the load and we're only sending minimal information back as far as what our inputs are to the game. How significant is that traffic going to be?
Yeah.
And how big of a load is that really going to be on your internet? And this is purely speculation. I'm definitely not a network expert. So
it's client side versus server side, right? Like if you're
the classic argument.
Shut up. When you have a machine and it's processing, it's doing all the processing and then it's buffering your commands. And then it's, even if it's, you know, there's lag, you're still shooting forward. Instead you're sending the commands over Wi-Fi to a server, right? The cloud.
Arguably you're going to be using Wi-Fi. Unless you use a wired connection.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Which realistically, serious gamers are probably going to still lean towards a wired connection if they're playing some sort of twitchy shooter or something. Like
right. Regardless, the buttons you press are going to the cloud first, and then it's processing sure. the commands in the cloud. So... Yeah. So where if... I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad... thing, but if there are single player experiences and you don't want to rely on an internet connection, just how people used when the Xbox One was first announced, that everyone was bitching about like always
I was thinking about the exact same thing.
Always on
when that Xbox One came out and everybody's like, I don't have the internet, I can't play. That's
losers. I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
Just lost a console war. I'm interested to see what they do, how they do it, and when they do it, and see if it is successful. Maybe it'll be successful like the next Google Glass. So we'll see.
Yeah, my real curiosity here is price. There was nothing in the keynote that talked about price. Google
like subscription.
Is it?
I don't know.
Because there's two conventional price models we can talk about. Obviously, there's the subscription model where you pay to access Stadia and then you have access to content. Or there is the traditional pay for content model, right? And then Stadia is the platform. So it's basically Steam, but... everything runs on Steam instead of your computer.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of Steam, we should give them their time in the sun. They recently announced that the Steam Link has a brand new feature. The Steam Link, the device that they were literally giving away with games to try and get rid of and then have since discontinued, is now capable... or is at least in beta stage now and will be capable of streaming games from your computer to anywhere that has an internet connection. So previously you could only use it within the same network. I have a couple of them because of the situation I mentioned earlier, and I can play games from my computer downstairs on my TV upstairs, and most of the time it works okay. The thing that they're rolling out, I could take just that Steam Link with me to the other side of the country, and assuming I have my computer set up the right way at home, I should be able to stream my games to that location using the Steam Link. You don't necessarily need a Steam Link. There's also software to do this with a Raspberry Pi, and I think there is an Android app that will allow you to do it as well.
Android.
Apple has not yet opened up the app store.
That's right.
For the Steam app.
They don't like Steam.
They probably won't, if we're just being real.
Or Java. They're like the PlayStation. They're like the Sony of the Steam world.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Steam is trying. They're trying to catch up to Google, I guess. That's kind of what it seems like.
Which is weird, because when you think about games, the first thing that comes to mind with me is Steam. I wouldn't think Google right off the bat, but Google's trying to change that.
I wouldn't think YouTube right off the bat either. I wouldn't think of Google, YouTube for a lot of things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the last thing I want to say, not about that. I look forward to that. I'm interested to see how that turns out, is a real quick update for Astroneer. Real quick.
Yeah. We talked about that. The game we keep coming back to.
we came back to it. Last time we talked, I had built a badass rover with a bunch of trailers, and then it fell through the world, and I said, screw this game, I'm done with it.
Not playing it again.
Not playing it again until it's officially released. It's officially released, and we played it. We had fun. It's complicated, and we might be done with it already.
I'm not done with it, but it's one of those games that it's a good single-player experience for me. And much in the same way I used to burn hours upon hours in Minecraft. But this does have a multiplayer aspect to it as well. The weird thing about the way we've been playing it is we have not been playing multiplayer. We will legitimately hop in Discord and talk to each other as each of us are playing independently of each other in different worlds, when we could literally just join each other's world. And I think that's due to the asynchronous way that we started our games.
Yeah.
And then
we didn't start asynchronous. Here's what happened. We started when we loaded it back up. You and I both started playing. We're in the same server, and then you pick things up so much quicker than I do, and so then you're like loading stuff up, and I was just like, let me just dig straight down for 3 days. So then we stopped playing, and you didn't have a server up. And so I was like, well, let me figure out all these things on my own. And then I, went to Steam and I looked up little strategies, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then so when you came back, I was like, I'm super advanced now.
Yeah. You had like rockets to other planets and stuff. And I was like, I can't find lithium. I don't have any batteries. Yeah.
And I'm like, here's what you do. Okay, first you need to buy a medium shuttle, which is not the right thing. First,
it's not right at all. I couldn't do anything with that medium shuttle.
You need to buy a small shuttle, then you got to travel to the moon. That's where you're going to find your iron ore. Once you're there, then you come,
yeah.
And really, that took like 70 hours of me researching. But it's
and that's good. The other thing is it is out in full release. If you've never played Astroneer, I do highly recommend this game. I have enjoyed it every time I've loaded it up. But there are not persistent servers available right now. So if you want to create a game with your friends, somebody's either got to leave the game running just constantly on their computer, or I don't know. Do something smarter than that. Set up your own server or something. I'm sure there's a way you could do that.
I think that that's the next step for it, right? Is it's a game I would enjoy more with you, but if there's a dedicated server that I don't have to keep running my laptop or you keep running your desktop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and I mean, I ran a home Minecraft server for like a year and a half. And that computer basically never turned off. And when it did, inadvertently, I got text messages and calls from my friends being like, yo, like, why is the world down?
Oh my gosh, my cows are running amok.
I'm at the zoo with my kids. Do go outside for an hour, nerd. I'll boot Minecraft up when I get home. Yeah, those are real conversations I had.
Those are real.
So I don't know. Astroneer's a lot of fun. It is out full release.
Still recommend it.
And they're still updating it. They're still continuing to work on it. It's not like they've cut ties on it. So
also City Skylines, which people are much better at me. than me at also Factorio, which I got my buddy at work to he doesn't have a computer, but he watched like 29 hours of Let's Play
of Factorio.
Such a great game.
And a quick before we go,
it's basically ITIL the game for any IT people.
Apex Legends, we talked about that at length previously. Huge new update today. The Battle Pass is here. You can buy a Battle Pass. I think it's like $9.50 or something like that. So you can unlock new skins and that kind of stuff. Season 1 is live now, and there is a new character that was also announced. So
Metal Legs
says, "Welcome to the Wild Frontier, new legend." Octane is the new legend that you can get. And I think that jump pad that they had thrown into, I think that is part of his kit.
I think that's like his ultimate or maybe.
Yeah. Yep. So you can go get a season 1 battle pass right now over on Apex Legends.
Thanks for that update, Travis. You're so good at updating. You know, this I want to say this before we head out and heading out is what I need to do. I want to say this. When we started this podcast, we fancied ourselves a tech, pop culture, and movies type show. And guess what? We got a little bit of all of that in this episode.
Sure
and
did.
So I want to throw back to episode 1 when our sights were high, our quality was low, and it was just the two of us.
And now not much has changed. thanks, everybody, for listening. If you enjoy this show, please head over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review the show. It helps people find it. Helps people know that you enjoy the show. It helps us know you enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Share the show with someone that you like.
Love.
Let them know that you enjoy it.
Love.
Let them listen to years of old technology news on our podcast or reviews of old movies. And we played a bunch. We started a new D&D campaign this week, so we're not going to talk about it at length on this episode. But stay tuned. We will definitely be talking about D&D. Coming up very soon. I'm excited. It went well. I went old lazy dungeon master on you guys, and I think it paid off.
Yeah, and I went crappy Matt Berry impression for you guys.
You two were buddies, weren't you?
Me and my buddies.
All right, everybody. That is our show. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Travis. He's Brandon.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Travis.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
Bye.
Whatever. This thing will fade out eventually. Not fade out. It will just stop.